I want to start with a poem from Absentia. I guess I understand that there's an idea that goes way back to Plato, I think. A theory called the theory of fecundity that articulates the idea that all possible universes exist. So like all contingencies somewhere are occurring, which is, you know, mind-boggling. But it means that when you start to write a poem and it doesn't work out, you don't have to give up on it. Somewhere that poem is awesome. So this poem is called Written While Filling the Kiddie Pool. So that my children, when they arrive, will have warm water to splash in, hose over lip, water drum plastic. Lives of the vice presidents, I begin, drawn to some glimmer in their distant names, Fillmore, Van Buren, Schuyler Colfax, Chester Arthur. Maybe 10 minutes while it's filling. Presidents face the challenges of their office while the vices nearly govern, pen memos, forget capitals, blunder into pistol duels in misty forests. The afternoon sun warms shallow water as a vice president nods off in a vestibule, and I too recline beside a young maple. The turtle-shaped pool nearly full, the vice poem settles for second. Oh well, no big poem. It was really nothing, goes the song, but then it was your life, it goes, and that's kind of a bummer. Sitting in a smallish circle of shade, in a larger circle of failed ideas. That children will arrive, or are arriving. That arriving's begun, and I only have to wait. Classic mistake. Planting this sapling, I confronted many wrong ideas about the ground. Hades, Mole Man, China down there, and China Syndrome. One thing's true, you can't just dig for fear of puncturing the mythical and actual fabric of buried wire you could call Persephone's panties, or not. But you do call a hotline and the next day flags appear. The future arrives, all clear for digging. As current might overwhelm a body, children shatter the latch, pour through the garden gate. Aaron Burr's bullet unwinds Hamilton's alternate future. Squiggly lines buzz up the arms, hair straightens, ears smoke. Children pause midair as if thinking made plastic swimming pools, maple trees. Time stills as water equals its container, then exceeds and spills into now. Thank you. Do you know what an antlion is? It's a little insect. It's like, it looks maybe kind of like a slightly bloated tick, but it's got like a crab-like claw on it, and it has a predatory plan, survival plan. It makes little cone-shaped holes in sand, in sandy soil, and when ants fall into those cone-shaped holes in the soil, they can't escape, and the antlion comes up from underneath and eats them. And that's how it lives. And there's a scene in the old Star Wars movie, The Empire Strikes Back, I think, where there's a big sand monster that's like sucking people in, and it's based off of the antlion. This is a little poem for the antlion. The naturalist and the antlion. The naturalist notices a pit in the sand. He draws his audience closer, scans the surface, bends, pinches an ant, drops the ant in the pit, which is a cone cast at the angle of repose, so watching everyone knows the ant can't escape. Ant scrambles, sand shivers, from the pit base mandibles emerge. It's a nightmare for ants, a crab trap transition that can't be untriggered, except, like magic, the naturalist extracts and separates predator from prey. The ant bumbles away as we merely examine the bulbous antlion, bloated, glamorless, a moment's demonstration of intelligence shaping and transferring energy. And I would like to read a poem from Nervous Systems as well. I guess right after, well, in the days immediately after the 9/11 attacks on the World Trade Centers in New York and et cetera, some researchers at the University of Wisconsin took advantage of the no-fly days, the 5 days when the planes, where no planes flew, and did research that on the phenomenon of global dimming and the effect that that just airplane traffic has on atmosphere and weather. And I had that in mind as I wrote this poem, although it's really mainly written while I was chaperoning a kindergarten field trip to a forest preserve. So, I don't know. It's called Manifest. 12,000 versions of 12 dozen ivy blossoms in the compound eye of a dragonfly. Shoulder-wide crevice opens above a gravel run. Bottles and a condom we decided not to touch. Part of the preserve. Grove of future dirt surrounds a cluster of brightly clothed children. One, as they say, is mine. Near the scout shelter along the tracks, a woodpecker harvested termites from the decaying limb of an ash. Sawdust sprinkled over the sumac's beseeching leaves. Ideas that we're getting what birds are just doing? Who drew that white line on the sky? Mine spied the day's first vapor trail, passenger plane on the hop to Chicago. By 9, it's diffused, combined with others of its kind and high cirrus. One white charge snaps through made weather. 12,000 versions of 12 dozen blossoms in the compound eye. Okay, I live in a home very much like this one. So, I wanted to give you a tour. This is called The Addition. 70s in style, wood paneling, itself a miracle, really, of processes originating in distant explosions. Painted orange, 3 rooms hung with both abandoned farm photos and Giacometti starvelings. All energy dissipates through structure, so these additions shape and elapse, an unkillable plant on a wobbly stand, wrought iron on the brink of failing. Lining the bookshelves, books, a concept that can seem absurd in the grand scheme. While volcanoes erupt on a moon of Jupiter, compendiums of knowledge decorate mortgaged space. I guess it's the particulars that make history worth the bother. And it happens that this particular east side, screen porch, fire room, TV room, was added on in the year of our Lord, 1974, by the karate teacher who used to own this property. With furious hands of dragon, he studded the foundation. With flying kicks of devastating construction, he hung the drywall. Running low on funds, he threw Chinese stars of leftover crown molding down for baseboards. Drank cheap beer and listened to Elvis records. Just as the first heat of our universe still ripples through our radio static, the master's legacy remains. His school of kung fu's over in the plaza. So when I stop by the pharmacy for pain relievers and pork rinds, I can watch through the big front windows a line of children practicing sweet jujitsu, while the sensei who cobbled these rooms together lingers somewhere in the shadows, sizing up the new occupant. Soft, he thinks, as he swings the 2 screwdrivers he's tied together for nunchucks. I'll do 2 more. This one's called Sam Says Everything. It's after a story by Sam Lipsyte. Sam says everything's weird if you stare at it, and I'm staring at the travel graph of the Voyager craft, the one that sailed past all our planets, taking the pictures I've framed of Jupiter's big red eye, the spooky blue of Neptune, and ice geysers on a Venus moon. A while back, I emailed the high school friend who became a past life regression counselor. One time we kissed at night on a golf course. She said it wasn't right, and I still wonder specifically why. She also said I felt like a dead person emailing her out of the blue, and it freaked her out all week. I don't know why I was hoping for some courteous objectivity, but she reminded me that one way to live is to constantly ask, what the fuck is wrong with yourself? Not in that oblivious way like some punk actor who really doesn't want an answer, I mean rather to expect an answer. In one story, life begins on another planet's moon. I remember this made life seem kind of middling to me, something side-shelved and ignored. Still, I have gone on with this idea of a satellite tower way out in the frozen night, beeping out instructions of some kind, or news from the motherland we're supposed to understand, like how aging, one parent will send, the other parent has sleep apnea, so he can't help it. He's sleeping. Clippings about migratory insects, biofuels, bird diseases, obituaries, and occasionally things I liked as a child, like steak sauce, and that golf course, which the city recently sold for top dollar to an investment group out of Manitoba, and nothing, as far as I know, horrible has ever happened on those kind fairways and plush greens, so beep, beep, I was just saying hello. Beep, beep, but I guess I would like to know. That. I want to read the poem that's in the recent issue of SRPR. I'm super grateful for, you know, it's having been selected for that prize, and you know, would love to thank the judge, David Baker, and just like split the prize money with him. I mean, I would cut that deal. I would. No, I shouldn't say things like that. I've been grateful for how that turned out, and just feel really happy that it's so well represented in Spoon River Poetry Review. So this is called A Moment for Authentic Shine. A Moment for Authentic Shine. This is the greatest moment of your life, said the voice, both familiar and distant, like a childhood friend becomes spokesperson for a cleaning product. Which caused the many hats to turn in many directions and one robed arm to extend. And what, after all, had been passing? The sounds birds made often seemed more cogent than the swirl of argument, a cyclone in a sandbox. So much management we ought to have degrees was a type of joke made at outmoded parties. Still with the shades and declarations, echoes of heroic solos translated out of urgent decades, while almost unnoticed, pensive tunes accumulate in the mix, like thunderclouds these warmer days. Regardless, the names come unpinned, stars die, a closet full of semi-recognizable jackets and hats bespeaks the bygone, and yet the baffling rekindling of romance may justify the maintenance of a hairstyle. A certain heart medication. No, I was afraid to say a certain heart beating in the chest of a certain girl. To say heart in that trite way, and girl when by now she's 50, and certain when the elapsing of all things into void has been made abundantly clear. But I knew her and she seemed real, and at 30, still childlike. A trait adorable in women, rather of concern in men, say the conservatives. But look who's ogling the ball players around the pool table. Any slogan invites rebuttal, and a spin into personal views often doubles futile conversation. One might live consuming nothing but packaged goods, and still in that moment of late afternoon crash, overheated, nauseated by the persistence of sexual memory, blinded by sun, buffeted by wind. Unfairly rely on that prideful sense of authenticity so prized in our time that it could be said to float, invisible, of course, above a century's worth of steaming wrecks. Cloud of elemental and reckless identity unwarranted, silver-lined illusion of nobility. Until geographies choke in the torrent, shrines assembled from knickknacks manufactured by prisoner children dissolve. And in our true magical forest, blossoms wreathed by small creatures that worked in tandem with our spirits become, as we become, atmosphere.